Our scripture reading this morning comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What do people gain from all the toil at which they toil under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hurries to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Round and round goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the stream flows, there they continue to flow. All things are wearisome, more than one can express. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, or the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what it will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has already been in the ages before us. The people of long ago are not remembered, nor will there be any remembrance of people yet to come by those who come after them. I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to humans to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I see we're pulling seats out. I just want to be clear, we do not have pancakes today. So if that's why you came, I just don't want you to be disappointed. Our family got to do something pretty wild this weekend. Have any of y'all ever been to the Pocosin Wildlife Refuge? Yes, all right. That's why you read today, Lydia. Well done. It's the place in the world that has the largest number of black bears, like per square mile, and then it also has the largest black bears. And so we went and stayed at a bed and breakfast before going on a tour. And at the bed and breakfast, the owner asked us if we were okay with dogs, and we said yes. And so when we got there, we were greeted by a half mastiff. If you've ever hung out with a mastiff, you know they get confused with bears. This thing was 150 pounds, and sweet as could be. When it jumped on our bed, we were very grateful that the owner got it off, because it was, I did not want to see it angry. And so like on Saturday morning before our tour, I got up really early to go have some coffee. And as I walked down the stairs, I just sort of had this passing thought that if that dog decided to be angry and be surprised by my coming down the stairs, that I might die before I could yell help. It was that big and that ferocious. And so anyway, we left the B&B and we went out to the wilderness and met a couple of interns that were telling us about the bears before we went and tried to see some. And so the interns informed us that the bears on average are like 300 to 400 pounds. And they can get as big as 600 to 800. And so all I could think was that the dog that could easily have eaten me would be a third to a fourth the size of some of the bears. Pretty intense. And so anyway, we go out on what they call the bear road, where you walk out, and as you're walking, it's sort of like on your right is all brush, and you can see about 1 foot in, and then on your left is a canal, and on the other side of that are crops. Mostly, we were walking by soybeans, and what they do is they contract with farmers to grow crops that bears will eat. So they had, the bears love soybeans evidently, and so they guarantee that about 20% of the crops will be left for the wildlife to eat, bears included. So anyway, we're walking along the path, and we see way out a blob, a black blob, and the guides were like, that's a bear, and they hand us binoculars, and sure enough, it was a bear that sort of moseyed into the path for a minute, and then sniffed and walked on. So anyway, we walked down the path, went, I don't know how far we went, maybe a mile. Didn't see any bears in the buffet of the soybean fields. Get to the end, kind of were hoping for more, didn't see any. Turn around, we start walking back. And when we were about 200 yards away from the car, we see halfway between us and the car, a black blob emerge out of the woods. And it's clearly one of the bigger bears. And they don't have good sight, so it couldn't really see us. but they have great smell. And so it could smell that we were there. And so the bear got into the middle of the pathway and just sat down. And so there we are with a bear, 400-pound bear probably, between us and our car, and brush with more bears to our left, and a canal that would not be good for swimming to our right. And so we were just really kind of humbled to stop and let the bear ponder life and watch it and watch it and wait for it to decide what to do. Fortunately, it decided it wasn't hungry for us, and it turned around and went back into the brush. And so a little later, we were able to walk. Having to stop for a minute, though, like that, having to just be completely at the mercy of a huge mammal like that, really provoked our sense of perspective, really made us consider ourselves. Kind of was humbling, but also thought-provoking. To me, that's what the book of Ecclesiastes offers us. It is like a bear crossing our path that stops us and forces us to consider who we are and where we're going. The passage began with that phrase, vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanities. 6 times you heard the word vanity in this very short passage that Lydia read. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Part of what I think the book of Ecclesiastes is doing, the teacher, the writer of this, is trying to provoke is a sense in us of not taking ourselves too seriously. It goes through that list of all these things. Hey, you know, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. The earth is going to keep doing its thing. The rivers are going to flow. The water's never going to get full. You may live a life where you work really hard, but people are probably never going to remember you. I mean, it's tough. It's a tough word. But part of what it's doing is poking us, reminding us that the things that seem like we're carrying the world on our shoulders can seem like they're so occupying our calendars, our work, our families, the things that can feel like we are just carrying everything are sometimes not as big and as important as it feels like to us. Vanity of vanities. This week, I had a little bit of time and I was near the town park. And so I went and sat up top at the town park right outside the little snack room. And there's that little upper splash pad that maybe some of you hung out at. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody? The splash starts shooting up, fountainish. Well, I was sitting there trying to get started on my sermon, was reading, reflecting, and all these kids kept walking up to the fountain. It was so great just watching them like walk up, look at the fountain, and it would shoot them in the face, and they would just laugh and then start dancing on it and run away from the fountain and then run right back into it and get completely soaking, many of them not wearing appropriate clothing. They were just having the time of their lives. And then I was watching the adults who, like me, were just sweating profusely, watching those kids with some reminiscing happening for sure, but also, let's just be honest, some envy. Seeing those kids get to have the freedom to do that while we all just were watching and sweating. And I was like, man, isn't that right? Like, we can't get our clothes messy. I've got a book I have to carry. I've got somewhere to be. I need to look professional. And all of us were just sitting there with envy. And I would love to tell you that the story ended with me diving into the fountain, but I didn't do it. I was way too much of a curmudgeon. I just sat there and watched and sweated and reflected. We take ourselves too seriously. Kids remind us with their joy and their freedom that there are times where we just need to let go and quit taking ourselves too seriously. We hold on to things and we are vain. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, says the teacher. We need to be reminded of that. But there's a danger. Even as we take ourselves less seriously, there's a danger that we can flip to an opposite extreme and we can take nothing seriously. And that's a danger too. Now, what's interesting is the book of Ecclesiastes sometimes gets lifted as an excuse for taking nothing seriously. In chapter 8, there is that passage that gets quoted quite often, eat, drink, and be merry. Dave Matthews combined that with Isaiah, eat, drink, and be merry. What happens next? For, oh man, nobody likes DMB, great. I'm a loser. Thank you in the back. Appreciate the shout out. Yeah. For tomorrow we die. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. It's basically the hedonistic anthem, right? We just do what we want. Hey, nothing matters. I'm not going to take anything seriously. I'm just going to do what feels good. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And so I don't think that that is what the book of Ecclesiastes and the teacher is encouraging of us either, to go from the extreme of taking ourselves too seriously to the extreme of taking nothing seriously. Because if we don't take anything seriously, our lives become truly meaningless. They become empty. They become really, truly sad. If you're looking for a great family movie today, don't watch Wedding Crashers. However, there are some nuggets in there that are pretty good. And so, like, the premise of the movie is that these guys go to weddings in order to find dates, is the PG version of it. And so they go do this, and they go to weddings of people they don't even know. And one of them makes the mistake. He falls for someone and actually wants to have a meaningful relationship. And so in a part of his soul searching, he goes and meets with the inspiration behind their practice of crashing weddings, which is a guy named Chaz, played by Will Ferrell. And so knocks on the door. His mother answers, yells up for him, Chaz! And he comes downstairs wearing a robe and nunchucks in case it's somebody he doesn't want to tangle with. And they sit down, they start to chat. And he starts to share that he has left the practice of looking for dates at weddings and has moved now to funerals. And so as he's describing his philosophy, he yells up for his mother to bring them some meatloaf. And there you have it. That is really the end of what a hedonistic, eat, drink, and be merry, nothing matters lifestyle is. You become like that. So sad. So empty. That is not what we are called to be. We are not called to be a people who just pursue what feels good because there's nothing that matters. That's not what God is after in this. Ecclesiastes pushes us away from simply taking ourselves too seriously. It also pushes us away from not taking anything seriously. And that's where I love how the passage ends. Let's see, what verse is it? Verse 13, he says, I applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to humans to be busy with. An unhappy business. Now, is it only unhappy? Well, I don't think so, because the same author is the one who said, eat, drink, and be merry. So there are times where we get to eat, drink, and be merry, and there's also times where it's simply unhappy. The point, though, I think, is what makes life full of meaning, what makes life worth living, is remembering God. It's when we follow God that this life begins to take on a fullness. It doesn't mean it's always happy. Certainly doesn't mean it's always easy. But when we follow God, when we allow God to be at the center of our lives, life can become truly beautiful. I see it all the time. I saw a note this week from one of you that's been visiting someone in a skilled nursing facility. If you've not been to a skilled nursing facility, those are not generally the brightest, most beautiful places. But he described his visits as being joyful. That's what happens. If we're following God, if we're putting God at the center of our lives, then we can go to a place that seems dark and there can be light. Our friends that we'll be talking about in just a minute, they're going to be coming up to get a blessing before they head out to Africa as a part of a team through Zoe. It would be so much easier to stay home or to go to the lake or to go to the beach. Certainly they would have had a lot less shots than they've had in the last month. But they're going, and they're going to hear some really hard stories. But they're also going to share God's love with some people who've had some circumstances that you and I probably can't even imagine. That's not easy, but it is beautiful. This week, this place, this whole church is going to be transformed into Christian nerds for Vacation Bible School. It's going to be, you're going to have so many people who are going to completely step out of their comfort zone. And they can't dance, but they're going to try anyway. And you're going to have some teenagers who actually are cool, do some very uncool dance moves in a public audience. It's incredible. It's truly beautiful. One of my favorite stories, and some of you heard me tell this before, but at last year's VBS, one of the teens made a connection with an elementary kid. They got to be close at VBS, and then it was time for trunk or treat, and all the youth go out, and so many of you all go out, and you all look like total fools. It's great. You dress up silly, all kinds of outfits, all kinds of cars get dressed up. Well, this kid was at one of the cars and was dressed up well enough that the little kid didn't even recognize him. And when the little kid came through, went through their car and kept on walking, the big kid said, "Hey," and called out her name. And she turned and looked at him, and she was like, "What?" And looked up, and then you could almost like see the gear turn. It clicked. And she ran and gave him a hug, and then ran off to her mom because she was so overcome with emotion. Y'all, that's beautiful. Those are the kind of things that happen when we take God seriously. Maybe do things that are outside of our comfort zone, make relationships, connections that are not in our normal pattern. God takes those kinds of things and makes them beautiful. I believe that that part of the power of the book of Ecclesiastes is that it comes across our path like a bear, and it stops us. It forces us to sit back and reflect on who we are. Maybe to take a step back from taking our day-to-day so seriously, but also take a step back from not taking anything seriously. And I think this book and the God behind the book asks all of us, how can we better take God seriously? May we live in answer to that question. Amen.